Xbomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear voices, animal voices, the tremble of cold, the feminine abyss, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind.
Hello, kids and caballeros and things that other words that start with C or a K or another kind of hard abbreviation of some other word that combines those kinds of things and elements and just goes whoosh. Tonight is another night of having a guest on, and we welcome Jessica McHugh on the show. How's it going, Jessica?
It's going very well. Thank you so much for having me on.
And did I pronounce the last name correctly? Because sometimes I wonder if I'm spelling it right.
You did. I mean, I've heard lots of different kind of variations of my last name, which is funny because when I got married, I thought that was going to stop. I thought I had a confusing surname before. So, but yeah, you hit it. You hit it perfectly.
Excellent. Because I've tried to say some people's names and it's like, yeah, I know I'm going to butcher this, but I'll just go ahead with it anyways and say, boof. Half the time I'm right.
I definitely get scared about that. A lot of times I'll listen to a podcast like an author has been on so I can hear them pronounce their name.
Ha! That's a good way to do it.
People.
That's a good way to do it. Another way is that there are a number of different Google sites where you can just say, type in this word. How do you say that?
Yeah.
And then somebody's been recorded saying that and they play that back. So tonight is going to be an interesting show because for my notes for the show, I have only one thing written down.
Oh, boy.
And that is that the last time we spoke and chat on the show was March 1st, 2017.
Oh.
That was like 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And funny enough, the episode number is 242.
Okay.
Which, if you're familiar with industrial style music, is one of my favorite bands, Frontline 242.
Oh, okay. Nice.
See? Combinations of elements that are completely random and have absolutely nothing to do with anything. But that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
So, tell the folks a little bit about yourself. I know you're an author and you do some stuff. So, what other kinds of stuff do you do?
Oh, yeah. I do a lot of the stuff. I'm a novelist, a short story writer, a poet, playwright. I dance way, way too much in front of my window, and my neighbors probably hate seeing it.
And the video camera.
Yeah. And yeah, no, I roll around with my cats a lot. I watch a lot of The Office for the 575th time.
Ooh, which one of the which? Oh, you're talking the American show.
Yeah, I have seen the original a few times, but yeah, it's not quite as lighthearted, I feel.
No, it's a little bit more darker with comedy,
yeah,
that skirts the edge. Yeah. So I do want to say one thing: the cover for your book, Blackout Poetry. Mm-hmm. I do really, really like that.
Yeah, I like it a lot too. Yeah, Lynn Hansen just, oh my gosh, she killed it. I want to wallpaper my writing hut in that cover.
Well, why don't you then?
Well, I know, maybe that's a project.
Well, you know, you can get all of this stuff printed.
I definitely want to get a nice framed copy of it because it is just absolutely gorgeous. And apparently she used an old 1800s copy of Frankenstein to create it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I was just trying to pull it up and it went to a strange place that I didn't want to go.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's no, we're not going to go there. That's fine. We'll go here. Yes, it is a very beautiful cover. So that is an actual cover from an original book?
The letters that she used
okay.
She got from pages of the other book. Kind of like, you know, how I created the poetry. She really kind of did blackout poetry with the cover. And
nice.
She used an old biology kind of book to put the arm on there and stuff. So she created something truly gorgeous.
Jack in the chat room is asking, are you standing on your head during this show? You seem to do a lot more of that than most people he knows.
I am not standing on my head since my neck injury earlier this year, but hands, I will probably at some point during this interview, just do a little flip flop just to get the blood flowing.
Okay. As long as we can get that on video. Oh, I don't have this set up for video.
I'm kidding.
Damn it.
I've had a little bit too many drinks to attempt it right now.
So the balance might be off.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay. So explain a little bit about what blackout poetry is. I understand it because I've seen what you've posted and I get a kick out of it. But what is it about? What is it? Why?
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 Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure the why, except for just to create something really nifty. And that's pretty much the why for anything. But blackout poetry is using existing prose or poetry or plays or VCR, programming instructions to create a poem, to create not only a poem using the words, but like a visual representation of the poem. And I've seen people do it, by hand like I do, or digitally. I've seen people do it in like cutting out the words and creating like almost sculptures from it. So there really are a lot of different variations for blackout poetry. But it's a lot of fun.
Oh, and here I thought you came up with this.
Oh, gosh, no.
Well, you're the only one I've ever seen doing it, so.
I invented blackout poetry. No.
I like it. It's neat. I might experiment with it myself, but probably not for a long while.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. It's therapeutic, I feel like. I've always wanted to be like a visual artist. I did a lot of drawing as a kid, painting, charcoal stuff, but I never was very good at any of it. I was, I could use colors in an interesting way and maybe I could sketch like a hand or an eye or something. But I never was really great at anything. And then when I found blackout poetry, it kind of allowed me to find a visual representation that I always wanted to be able to do, and it meshed so well with something that I already thought I was pretty good at, which is writing and creating poetry. So I really feel like after 30 odd years of life that I finally found what I had been looking for all through my childhood, trying to create art. So it was a revelation, and it definitely opened me up to a lot of new thoughts and avenues to explore.
Now, you create a lot of this now in order to make a little bit of a living to, as your site says, decorate your home, office, sex dungeon, obsessively sanitized underground bunker, and more.
Yes.
I like that. That's catchy.
Yeah. I provide all kinds for all kinds.
Well, let's not go into judging people and their choices in life and where they like to live and how they like to express their own personal identities in places, right?
Absolutely. But I do. I have created blackout poetry from, it's like the ecstasy, the Art of Sexual Ecstasy. I had this book, and so I've created some from that. There, the imagery is fun.
Well, you've got three books listed on there that are amongst my favorites.
Yay!
I can tell you that that book is not one of them.
No.
The Bell Jar is not one of them. The Prophet is not one of them. But Fahrenheit 451 is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
And Dracula and Frankenstein, of course.
Yeah, those have been some fun ones. I need to get another copy of Fahrenheit 451. Mine is very old, and it tends to be difficult to create. I can't make mistakes when I'm using that one, because if I erase too much, like, the page will just fall apart.
So, for the blackout poetry, are you actually taking a page physically and then just colorizing and doing that on the actual page?
Yes, indeed.
So you don't like print it out and then play with that and then, oh, I made a mistake and then redo it?
Nope.
So there's no mistakes.
No mistakes.
Well, there's mistakes, but they
There,
don't
you, yeah,
count.
there have been mistakes, but I've been able to correct them. And sometimes they kind of, open it up to experimentation. Like I was doing one and I ripped the page by accident and ended up actually sewing it closed. And it really kind of created a neat little look that went along with the poem. So in the end, it
Nice.
was a good thing.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's okay. So with the poetry side of stuff, I mean, it's all about that corner of getting things to work, however it works.
Yes. Well,
So.
sometimes the poem will kind of just appear and it's very kind of natural. Sometimes you'll find, a string of words that really work together and you're like, okay, this is how I want to end it. And you're looking at the bottom of the page and it's not giving you anything. Like
I
nothing
can.
like the way you want to finish it. And sometimes you kind of have to manufacture it a little bit. Sometimes the thesaurus has been my best friend.
Oh, the Thorosaurus. I love that thing. It's a good read.
When it's like, okay, I can't get grab, I can't even build it out of any of the surrounding letters. What's another word for grab? Can I get clutch? Can I get,
What's another good word for perspicacious?
Yeah, that one comes up a lot.
Really? Because it's one of my favorites. Along
Mine
with
is
defenestrate.
mine's cacophony.
Cacophony is an awesome word. And monosyllabic.
Monosyllabic is good.
A
Verisimilitude.
polysyllabic word for a single vowel word.
Yes, that is a good part of
Yeah.
monosyllabic.
So, blackout poetry, neat stuff. So, how do people try and contact you and set up something? Because I know you do commission work.
I'm totally open for commissions too. And very eager to get some for November since I'm going to be doing NaNoWriMo and not writing anything else, so I'll need a distraction. You can email me jessicamchughbooks@gmail.com, or you can contact me via my website. I got some like forms on there. What I usually like to do is, if you have a book in mind, I can go and get it. I have a great local used bookstore in town. I also have on-hand books that are listed on my website, a whole bunch of them. I like to basically ask people, do they have like a color scheme or a certain theme they want to go for? Family, love, just bonkers, offensive,
Offensive?
offensive.
What?
Yeah, so I definitely have a lot of books that could fill that slot. Ayo.
Excellent.
So yeah, just or shoot me a message on Instagram, Twitter, any of the places. I'll just hit me up and we can talk it through and I talk through, the pricing and whatnot. I do charge a little bit extra if I do paper craft, which I do like to do. If anyone is interested in that, I kind of like that only really happens if I look at the poem and it kind of screams out to me that it needs something. It's weird.
Screams,
I have
huh?
a
It
weird like
screams.
yeah, I have a I weirdly when I'm trying to think of, how it's supposed to be decorated and the colors and everything, I just kind of stare at it and see it. Like it tells me what color it is.
I
So
have
it's
a
been weird.
question in
This
the
year
chat
and
room
last
for
year's
you.
been weird with the talking to pieces of paper.
I have a question from the chat room for you.
Oh God, I'm sure.
They wonder if you does either Shakespeare or the Bible.
I recently did Macbeth.
Excellent.
So, yes, and that one was a lot of fun, actually. I was very doubtful that I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to find anything in it, and just because of not the books failing because of mine, but I luckily was able to find some really cool stuff. And I haven't done the Bible. I would definitely be interested in it. I tried to do this like religious cult book and it didn't work out very well. So
what was it? The Jim Jones recipe for lemonade?
Yeah, it's called Strange Gods and it's all about cults. So yeah, that one didn't work out so well.
I read that.
I was doing research for Hares in the Hedgerow, so a lot of cult nonsense.
There is a lot of cult nonsense in the world. There's a lot. I'm not going to go into any of it because I've heard a lot. So, yeah, no. A follow up question in there is: do you rely on intuitive sense?
I guess so. It seems to me that when I'm looking at the blackout poetry, then when I look at the page, I kind of just see some starting words like, you know, she was or they were, just kind of things to start any kind of thought process going. And then sometimes when I look at it, just kind of my eyes dance down the page and see the entire thing as one. It does seem to be kind of an intuitive thing, which is, it's like I said, it's I only really started doing this in the beginning of 2019. So it's been like a weird romance in a way. It's very,
so you're still starting to play with it.
Yeah. We're still in the honeymoon phase, you know. We're getting to know each other's bodies.
Cool. Now, are you as a result of that, do you love or hate those goofy memes that show up on Facebook all the time? The first three words you see in this crossword puzzle thing is what means the rest of your life.
I like the ones that are jokey. I like the ones where it's just like, die alone. Nachos.
Find tacos. Bedroom. Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, and I usually don't like them, but I still kind of look at them.
Yeah, I get it. It's like, what word did I see? I said the.
Yeah, huh. Yeah.
Okay.
It's usually something like glorp, and I'm like, great. I knew that already.
You're going to have a glorpin' good day.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to know a little bit about the McCuniverse, because I just like that. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, the McCuniverse is just my what I call my big universe of crazy worlds that I've created. I mean, it started with, my first books that I wrote when I started writing when I was 19, like a fantasy series that we don't really talk about much anymore because it's, I don't know. I seem so far removed from it, but they're still lovingly in my McUniverse. So it's just kind of like that ever-expanding thing. I'm not quite a Stephen King crossover universe yet. No.
Well, come on. You got to work on it. I'm doing it.
I have a couple. I definitely have a few things that cross over. Darla Decker certainly has some allusions to my other work. And yeah, there's some stuff sprinkled through for sure.
So I just like this one line in your bio thing that I have here. You have 24 books published in 12 years, including The Bizarro Romp, The Green Kangaroos.
Yes, it is a bizarro romp.
I just love that idea, a bizarro romp. Okay, are they romping through like a garden where there's like, instead of carrots growing, and is it like the heads of people? It's like, hey, I want this person today, and I want this kind of person today. I'm feeling a mite peckish. I should get one of those.
You're definitely not far off. I mean, there are chunks of people in Green Kangaroos.
Oh, goody. I'm glad I was able to make that connection to that.
But The Garden is a different book.
The Garden is a different book. Okay, yeah, now I want to know more.
The Garden, so it's actually getting re-released next year by Perpetual Motion Machine Publishing. It's was, you know, Rabbits in the Garden was previously published, and I'm kind of doing a revamp on it, and then they're going to be publishing that in the summer, and then in Thanksgiving 2021, if we're the world still exists, the
it will
is going to be coming out, and that's the sequel that I've been working on for what feels like a lifetime.
I know it can do that because I've heard that from many authors before. You spend an entirety of your life trying to put the words together, and at some point, oh, okay, now I'm happy. It might be 48 years afterwards, but...
Yeah. But it's finally happening next year, Thanksgiving. You're going to stuff yourself on turkey, and then you're going to stuff yourself on ridiculous cult horror.
Nice. And just so you know, here in Canada, we just had our Thanksgiving. That was on Monday.
All right, so you're going to stuff yourself on hot dogs?
Well, I already stuffed myself, but that's quite all right. And no, not hot dogs. Never stock my... I don't understand how people do those hot dog eating contests. The one guy did like, what, 68 of them in like 20, 30 seconds or something stupid?
No.
That's insane.
I mean, I work at a place that serves hot dogs, and I'm poor, so I eat a lot of hot dogs.
I like hot dogs. Don't get me wrong.
But I regret it, like, 15 minutes later every single time.
Oh.
Because I call them heartburn dogs.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, I'm over 30, so anything you eat gives you heartburn. Anything that you love to eat.
Not me anymore. I got chemicals for that stuff.
Ah, darn you.
Yes. I take a pill every 2 days, and it keeps the heartburn away.
Aww.
But yes, Dr. Boyce told me there are very specific foods I should avoid. One of them is cheese, and I said no.
Mm-mm.
I cannot give up my cheese.
No. I would
definitely
rather
tomato sauce
hot dogs than cheese. But the hot dogs are free. The conundrum.
The conundrums of life. Yes, yeah. Indeed. So. I don't know. I had nowhere to go with the so.
So buttons.
So many buttons. But I just wanted to reach back to a point you just mentioned. I just want to reassure everybody that's out there and might be listening. Yes, 2021 will be coming through okay.
Yay!
I have spoken to it, and it has assured me that is already geared up and ready to roll on over some other people with bringing Skynet with it.
Awesome. I'm really
excited.
We
worship our overlords. Oh, wait.
And also my book.
Aren't they? And your book. All of them. All 24 of them.
Yes.
Woo.
I am the robot. We are the overlords coming to the future.
That's the robot voice.
Yes.
So I've been working on a found footage short story for a submission call. It's been interesting. I've written I guess, you know, what I wouldn't call a found footage, you know, an epistolary story before. But this one seems a little bit more ambitious, and it's been definitely trying, not only because trying to convey a clear plot through things like tweets and texts and lawsuits and missing dog posters, receipts and stuff like that. Obviously that's a tricky thing. That makes me very nervous, but then it's also like the formatting is a weird kind of thing to consider because, so, you know,
multiple different kinds. No, I'm sorry. The dead world has finished passing, so I can actually talk now. I like certain kinds of found footage films.
Okay.
But they have to be done smartly.
So,
I mean, Blair Witch was not one of the ones that I liked, but Cloverfield I did. And if you ever get an opportunity to watch a zombie movie called Wreck, it's a Spanish one. Favorite
Oh,
movie, one of my favorite zombie movies of all time.
you have to check that out.
Because it's a reporter on scene and everything works within context as, yes, we have found her footage of the events that occurred.
Okay,
And same
yeah.
with Troll Hunter, same idea.
So yeah, and so part of me was, kind of, I wasn't thinking about like the who and the why of everything being compiled, and that's why I kind of thought found footage was maybe the wrong term, but people seem to understand that term more than epistolary. So
I did say in the chat room that I really do like the word epistolary.
yeah, it's
It's
great.
like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
People are going to have difficulties with that. That's fine.
so like I w originally wasn't even thinking of who compiled all this. I was just kind of thinking, you're the detective, you figure it out. You're given all this. What is the story? But not phrasing it that way. So then people got, when I asked like on Twitter and Facebook, do you need to know do you need to know the reason why the found footage is being compiled? Everyone's like resounding yes. So I was like, well, fuck me.
It's the detective that was looking into the matter beforehand, and this is all the evidence he put together, and you just
just
figure it out.
whatever, it's cool. Just shut up and read my cool story.
Exactly.
So it's definitely something I have to, and the thing is, I have a reason that I could easily put in there, but I don't feel like it adds to the story. So like now I'm at like a crossroads because I've always been told as a writer, if it doesn't add to the story, cut it. So,
I'm not going to agree with that advice all the time, because
okay.
sometimes, especially, I think with, as an example with poetry, it doesn't necessarily fits, because sometimes poetry is more just about a feel than it is
Sure.
about what you actually say.
Sure. Okay.
So, I don't know. I'm going to be on the other side to say sometimes there's room for stuff that doesn't add.
Yeah.
So
I
yay,
mean,
I'm going to be on the other side.
I'm not against it. I just yeah, I don't want to bloat it. Like,
That I understand.
and within the in a story that's already written in receipts and coroner's reports.
Well, you can get a lot of cool stuff in a coroner report. I mean,
Yeah,
receipts,
you
yeah,
can.
that's pretty bland and blasé. But coroner's reports, man, those people are whacked.
Yeah. So I mean, and I'm trying. I'll probably do just like abridge or excerpts from, but yeah, it's been definitely one of the more trying experiences I've had in writing, but fun. And it's if it doesn't work out, then hell, I will have only wasted hours and hours and hours.
But it's a valuable learning experience building towards an opportunity for a project otherwise.
Sure.
I look at it that way because what the hell?
No,
I mean, I'm going to
yeah.
spend all this time doing stuff. I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to use that for something sometime, maybe 10 years
Yeah.
from now.
If nothing else, it's, I mean, it's, I think it's kind of cool.
Exactly. I mean,
It might not get accepted, but I think it's pretty cool so far. We'll
so, do
see
you
if it
find
holds up.
yourself writing mostly for yourself first or for an audience first?
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
No, I feel like I mean I'll write inspired by a submission call, but I write what I think is cool.
That
I
works for me
guess.
too.
Yeah. I don't ever, I guess I do think, well, I recently wrote a story that was accepted, but I haven't gotten the go ahead to share it. But I wrote it kind of trying to predict the facial expressions and, you know, body movements and posturing like that, that I thought that the reader would have. So I was like purposefully trying to elicit certain physical reactions. So that, I mean, that was interesting too. I never really done, it was, you know, kind of a second person story, which I've written before, but this was like specifically trying to target the reader. So that was fun.
Well, that gave me a quizzical head turn. I was like, interesting. So a specific reaction, like somebody wants to throw the book across the room and hit somebody and cut them in the head?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, there's a point where it's like, I know you're going to want to, like, put it down, put the story down right now because you think I'm, you know, you don't believe me. And it's like, but you'll come back.
Oh.
Like, you know, I try to predict if someone's furrowing their brow, basically. I'll just be like, oh, you know, make a face, make that face if you want.
Just like me when I was cocking my head, trying to think through, hey, what is the concept?
I was pretty much just trying to use, and also like use kind of words and language that maybe people might not be as familiar with. So they would like crinkle their face or, you know, furrow their brow or something like that. Like they might get tense. So.
Indeed.
I hope it came across. I had a couple people read it, which I don't usually do a lot of beta readers, but that one specifically I wanted to, because I wanted to make sure people, that it was coming across that people were having physical reactions.
Cool. Now, you know, I'm a little goofy, right?
Yeah.
So do you have any gamma readers?
Gamma readers.
Well, seeing as how I just uncracked my box of comics for the shop, Immortal Hulk was on the top. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to read that one later.
Yeah.
Gamma readers. I'm a gamma reader.
Gotta get some gamma readers.
Gotta have some gamma, man. So, do you ever feel that any of your work is going to ever be in, say, some other kind of medium such as video game, movie, TV, web series, things I haven't even thought of yet?
Gosh, I would I personally would love to see The Train Derails in Boston as a movie, or I guess a series, because it's like just, it's erotic, violent, haunted house. So,
okay.
And like a family drama. So it's real messed up, and I think it would translate well.
So something that the entire family can watch.
Absolutely.
And share.
Yes.
Moments of perspicacity. I'm just saying.
I think it would be really, really gross and awesome. And yeah, other than that, like I think there are definitely some short stories that I've written where I'm like, this could be expanded into like a video game or something like that.
Cool.
Just because it's so, like, has so much dialogue and then a bunch of, like, crazy happenings.
Dialogue, action, action, dialogue. Everybody's dead.
I would just love to look over and see my husband playing a video game that I wrote. Like, that would be so rad.
I know there's a market looking for it. I know they're always looking for content, but it's like I hear people every once in a while say, yeah, we do this all the time. But then you never tell anybody how to do it. And it's like, well, how do you do it? Like, how do you connect?
I did at one point a few years back write typing tutorials for children.
That
and
sounds exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fun. They're little short stories. Like the first one is called Ava and the Rabbit, and it's total canon for rabbits in the garden and hares in the hedgerow, which is kind of fun. So that's kind of, if you go play this typing tutorial, it's actually like weirdly mentioned in Hares in the Hedgerow, which makes no sense because Hares in the Hedgerow takes place in 1975. But
well, we had typewriters then.
Sure, but not an animated, like, imaginary.
Wow, come on, you can have some time travel elements coming in. I mean, everybody does time travel and zombies now and everything.
Sure. But yeah, I did like I wrote these little stories, and then for this company called Typing Club in Washington, D.C., and they had animators, you know, their little cartoons with music and stuff, and you when you type, the animation starts and the music goes, and you like can learn the story, and it's really cute.
Okay. As I used to work for a company that sold software like that, I could never quite get into it.
No.
Just wasn't my cup of tea.
But these are McUniverse stories.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's a
Yeah.
definite difference.
They're not normal.
Okay. And I'm good with not normal because, Abby normal.
Yeah, right.
See, some people I can throw that at and they wouldn't get it, but I would expect you would with all the
Absolutely.
Frankenstein.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. See, it's good to have those, like, everybody blames me for having dad jokes because I do have them and I don't have kids and I don't even care about kids, but I have a lot of dad jokes.
Yeah, no, and like well, with everything going on, I guess my dad's open the window and influenza joke doesn't go over quite as hot.
Yeah, probably not going to be the ball hitter out the park one.
Doesn't land as well these days. Sorry, pops.
Nah. Now, I see a lot of people yapping about how they did great with a Kickstarter project or whatever. I know you have a Patreon.
Yeah.
That I have a mind block on the whole Patreon thing. I get the idea of how it works and I understand what's supposed to work, but I've never been able to quite wrap my head around how to actually make it work for me. How does it work for you?
I
Or
am
does it
very
work for
lucky to
you?
have some very patient supporters.
Ah.
Every month I am theoretically supposed to be posting a webworm story, which is this composite novel that I've been writing for the past 3 years. I had a whole bunch of ones that I wrote for a story a week in 2017, and I'm still writing them. It's just that with preparing for NaNoWriMo and trying to like get other stuff done, I've kind of fallen a little bit behind. So I don't think I got one out last month, so I got to get one out this month. It's a very weird universe, and it's all out of order. And like I've literally just been writing random short stories in it for 3 years, so I'm a little out of whack on it. I'm just like, what is even happening? It's like if David Lynch like just one day woke up and was like, what is David Lynch? That's me going
Well,
back to Webworm every single time.
he has that weather thing, right?
Huh? Yes,
He has,
there's
yeah.
the weather.
Just
Yes.
the weather. It's like David Lynch doing the weather. I would love to hear my weather report done by David Lynch, but I don't think
Every
he'll
day.
ever do it. Meh.
Yeah, those are great. I also have like a thing where people that subscribe to the entertaining the neighbors, like you can do a song request and I'll record it. No one really requests anything, so sometimes I just post random stuff.
Okay, people, if you're on Jessica's Patreon, however the hell it's pronounced, request some goofy ass song. Come on, just do it.
And then
Do
like
it.
the one that I'm always like really good about though is people that I have a blackout poetry tier. You get a physical blackout poem from me every single month, so
Wait, you punch somebody in
I
the eye and
accept
give them a
the trophy.
blackout?
Yeah, every single month.
Excellent.
And some of them are from like when I first started doing them, so yeah. No, it's
Nice.
I love sending those out and picking them, although I do need to replenish my stock.
Now, do you mean like as in a physical piece of paper mailed to somebody?
Absolutely. Yep.
Cool.
One of a kind.
With a special stamp of approval and seal
Yeah.
of Jessica on it.
Yeah, absolutely. With my ridiculous signature, probably smudged.
Oh, is your signature ridiculous too?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it doesn't look like my name. Probably looks like Jorty D. Merker.
Jorty Bart Flarsh.
Yeah. Slarty Bart Fast.
That's the one. That's the one I was trying to remember. I just couldn't grab it. Yeah, mine looks like three lines. It was like...
Yeah, mine is basically a JBM and like lines between them, so...
Yeah, well, when you're signing your name for 40 years, it's like it slowly goes from three names to like one quick switch.
I was just wondering, like, because a lot of places don't teach cursive anymore. So, like, what do people do with their signature? What are they going to do with their signature?
I work in logistics, and I once had a UPS guy tell me that the guy signed his name dot, dot, dot. And said, I know that the exact distance between these three dots is my signature because it's the exact same distance. Nobody can duplicate that.
What?
Yeah, exactly. And I said to the driver, yeah, okay. Good luck trying to prove that in a court of law.
What the heck?
I think he just didn't want to sign his name.
Just sign your name, like the explanation. Yeah.
Or just put in a couple of initials saying JM.
Yeah. Weird.
But, you know, people's is weird, and I'm going to stick with that, and I can prove it many, many times, and that's as far as I'll go with that.
There you go. I'm on board.
Exactly. So, have you ever considered writing with somebody else? Like a collaboration?
I mean, I've definitely considered it. It's never.
But you
really
said
come
they
to
suck.
Fruition. Yeah. I don't know if I would be a good collaborator.
And we don't mean in the type of style of saying, "Hey, somebody's going to say, and let's dethrone somebody."
Yeah. I'd like to think that I would be. I've definitely. Talked with people about it, and then like stuff just kind of fizzled out. I don't know if I'd work, although I'm very good at taking criticism and suggestions. I bend on my vision very well.
Okay.
I don't know, it would be weird. I'd like to think that I could do it. I just feel bad for other people dealing with me.
Okay. So
I don't know.
Do you use editors for any of your work?
Oh yeah. For
oh
sure.
Okay.
No. I'm real good at taking, like, I'm great with editors. I you know, when I get suggestions and corrections, I like approve 99% of them. I just think when it comes to the creation of something, I'm not sure I would be so great in that aspect, because I kind of just like to follow my, you know, my line of thinking. But then again, I've never done it, so I could be completely wrong. It could be a beautiful, magical experience, and I would
come on. Frankenstein
life.
Meets the Golden Girls.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Okay. All right.
I'm going to do it.
Okay. I mean, hey, there's weirder stuff out there. I mean, I watched a movie about zombies versus Bigfoot, and it's definitely in one of the worst movies category I've ever seen.
I'm all about a good mashup. I listened to a song the other day that was Marilyn Manson's Beautiful People mashed up with the Chili's Baby Back Ribs theme, and it was
nice.
A masterpiece.
That works. And in that same vein, are you familiar with Mongolian throat music?
Yes.
And Scottish bagpipes.
Wow.
It works amazingly.
Might take your word on that one.
I love doing the thing with YouTube where you just start with some weird song. It's like, oh, okay, I like this, and just see where it goes and just find new music. And it's like, cool. Because there are people out there doing stuff.
Hey, I'm all for that. I 100% support that activity.
Excellent.
Whatever gives you the inspirato.
Yes. Or the friendos, as you like to
or
say,
the
I've seen.
Or the inky cohorts.
I love that term that you, I saw you coin that at one point. It's like, that's a neat term. I like
yeah.
that. It's evocative. It's imageual. And it actually means what it says. And it's like,
yes.
Ooh, that's cool.
Well, thank you.
See, I'm a complimentary individual sometimes. Long ago learned, it's like, I don't have the stress or the means to actually just start tearing and ripping people apart. Because like, what's the point?
No.
You know, it's like, be happy, share happy, make other people happy wherever you can. Just roll with it.
Absolutely. And that's, I mean, that's kind of like why I like to write horror fiction, because it's an outlet the other way.
The other ways. I kill everything.
I like to stay on the sunny side. I like to have fun and dance around and make people laugh. And on the page, I like to eviscerate the fuck out of people. And I think that's a pretty good way to live.
And by the way, it's okay to swear on this show. I don't mind.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry.
I usually tell people up front that it's like, yeah, go ahead. I don't. That's not really a big deal. If it becomes an issue or whatever, I can bleep.
Like I said,
it's so
I'm
big.
Just living my life.
Precise. So, obviously, because I've had this as well when people, I tell people that I write horror as well. It's like, they give me that look. It's like, huh. Right. How do you deal with that?
I mean, it used to be a thing back in the day. People would care. Now they don't.
Good. That's what I like to hear.
It's weird. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe people are just cooler, or it's just old.
It's become more acceptable.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that a lot in the recently, you know, with was it A24 and all those horror movies that can, even though they've been quote unquote elevated horror, you know, they, you know, the more what they consider commercial horror, which is just a very strange thing.
I'm saying suspense.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think that horror has been, you know, more has become more mainstream, you know, when it has peaks and valleys where it's, you know, horror is cool and mainstream, and then it's like, oh, it's too punk rock and gross, and then it comes back. But we have these movies that they call elevated horror because they're kind of like art house looking movies that make it feel comfortable for horror, and people that aren't horror fans, that call to say they're not horror fans, to consume horror.
Right.
Because it's not really, it's elevated horror.
It's meant to be a little bit more literate / cultural.
Yeah, exactly. We're not wallowing in, like, down in the muddy blood here. We're elevated.
So it's not Japanese splatter horror.
You know,
I love Japanese splatter horror.
Yeah, no, there's every version, every avenue, every little corner of horror is valid. And it's there's a little corner of it for everybody. And which is nice that, you know, people who aren't typical horror fans can be like, hey, you know, I like this. And but they can be like, oh, it's not horror, it's family drama. be like, no, honey, it's horror.
Yeah, and the way I would have spun it as well is that it has been statistically and financially proven to be the most lucrative return on an investment genre of anything making.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what's great about horror is, you know, it can... It unites people. It, you know, it helps us grieve. It can be romantic. It can be gruesome. It can, you know, there are so many different shades of it, you know, for so many, and it can be explored in so many different ways. So many genres within genre. That's why it's just so fun. And really, I think just the most universal genre. It's everywhere. It's literally everywhere.
It is literally everywhere. I mean, if you
2020, it's everywhere.
Last week, I had Jezzy on, and we were talking about monsters, and we were talking about mythological monsters from all sorts of the world. Every culture in the world has some variation of a mythic story that is terror.
Yeah.
It's in everything.
It's so great. We love to be scared. Like, you know, no matter what people, like I scare very easily, or used to scare very easily when it came to like movies.
I got a movie,
stuff, but still,
I got a movie for you.
House attraction, and I will scream the entire time. Like I would jump at everything. I mean, I definitely still have times when I'm like walking down the long hall to my bedroom, and I'm like, everything's fine. There's definitely not a ghost like crawling behind me, like. A freaking Crimson Peak ghost there for no reason. So just don't turn around and you'll never see it.
I got a movie for you.
Yeah.
Hubie Halloween.
Oh God. Oh God. I've heard so many mixed things.
Oh no, it's funny as hell. It's goofy, it's mindless, it's got no redeeming qualities whatsoever. It's just a good popcorn mindless movie. But that's the main character. The main character jumps at everything.
Oh, really?
Well, and by the way, somebody in the chat room just said, I got to get a t-shirt that says, I got a movie for you. Because I apparently do that a lot.
Oh.
Okay. I think I'm going to take that one to heart. I might actually adopt that.
There you go. Official merch.
Yay, merch. Ooh, that's right. I need after-hour merch. Got to work on that.
We'll see.
So what other kinds of movies do you watch?
I do like Eight Crazy Nights, so we'll see.
I've never seen that.
I don't know. It's very much also mindless comedy, but it actually has some heart to it.
Heart. I like to take those out of a body steaming and slap them on the ground and throw some sticks in it.
Yeah, that's good too. I mean, like if you're feeling feisty.
Pretty much all the time. It's pretty much a thing I do. Oh, have you seen Books of Blood yet?
I haven't.
I've heard some
very not positive things.
I liked it.
You liked it? Okay.
I enjoyed it. Because I could take it for what it is. It's a story. It's not a blood and guts and gore thing.
Right. Okay. All right.
It's trying to do the same idea that Trick or Treat did with the vignettes that wrap around and then coil into the end story.
Uh-huh.
And it's not as good as the way they did it, but it's good for what they did.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have to give it a whirl. I'm like watching 8,000 different things.
Oh, don't even tell me about that.
Just finished Bly Manor.
I saw that you posted that. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Are you a positive or a negative on that one?
I liked it.
Okay, because I've heard both sides on that.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, I don't. I'm trying not to compare it to the first season because they're different things, but. I liked it. I'm really looking forward to rewatching it. I've probably rewatched Hill House at least 6 times. And that's a conservative estimate.
I couldn't get through the whole thing.
You didn't make it through the whole thing?
Nope. Got about halfway. It's like, okay, I'm done. I got something more exciting to watch.
Oh.
I have a really bad habit is that I've got currently a list of about almost 400 different shows that I would like to watch. Mm. And if they can't keep me going for at least a few minutes, they're going to get chucked in and I'm going on to the next one.
Okay. I hear you.
Do you like sci-fi?
That makes sense. Yeah, I do.
Have you watched Raised by Wolves?
No, I haven't seen that one yet. Is that on HBO?
That's the one on HBO, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember if that was I don't have Max, so.
Yeah, we have something called Crave.
Yeah, I'm finishing Lovecraft Country.
I haven't started that one yet. I'm waiting till it's finished, and then I want to binge the crap out of it.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, I think.
Yes. I'm finding a lot more and more shows that are being done nowadays. There's like, You get to the end of the episode, it's like, I don't want to wait a week for the next episode.
No. I think it's funny to go back and watch stuff from the, you know, 80s and 90s when I was growing up. Like, you know.
He-Man.
Like, you watch, but like a show that I watched a lot, like Frasier, like, that was not built for a binge. Like, no. So many shows, like, you're like, oh my God, I hate this guy.
Yes. Like, yes.
Like, so many main characters of shows that, you know, that I love. If you watch, like, six episodes right in a row or something like that, you're like, oh my God, this fucking guy.
Yes, it's like, you can take him in the little bits. It's like, okay, you got a half hour show. The guy shows up for a couple of minutes, da-da-da-da, and then he's out. It's like, okay, yeah. that's cool. But if you're going to watch him, like, 6 hours straight,
yeah,
I might shoot him.
Like, watching Lost, which was one of my favorite shows, like, oh my God, I cannot take Jack. Like, oh my God, he kills me. Like, Jack, okay. Get over yourself. I don't want to help anybody. What? I'm the leader? I don't want to be the leader. Want some orange juice with that vodka, Doc?
Biggest issue I had with Lost was Hurley.
Oh, why you like Hurley?
I love Hurley.
Oh, okay.
But he's a heavy, overweight dude stuck on an island with no food, and he never loses weight in 3 years there.
Ranch dressing, though.
Huh?
He did eat a lot of ranch dressing in a couple episodes, like right out of the carton. So.
Yeah, well, that's only going to be for the first couple of days while you still can eat that.
Actually, it's weird because he does mention that a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know it came up.
Yeah.
It's just, not going to work like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they all should have been way thinner.
Emaciated.
Also, like, their hair, beards, like...
Well, they should have had fresh lipstick on, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Why ladies weren't walking around with fuzzy legs? Come on now.
And high heels in one or two episodes. No, I liked Lost. That was a good fun. The first season was like, I don't get it. I don't think they understand where they're going with this, and they're just blue boxing it. After that, it was like, oh, good. The larger story, smaller arcs, larger story, small. Okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah. I still love Lost, but yeah, Jack is a lot to take in a binge.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So, what other... new movies, shows coming out that you're looking forward to?
Ooh. I know we're tomorrow I'm gonna watch Enola Holmes.
Okay.
Which, you know, that Sherlock Holmes is it his niece? Little sister?
I think it's his niece. I haven't watched it myself because it seems
it's based on
little
like
too cutesy for me.
Or a comic book or something.
I'm
looking forward to watching that. I know there's definitely stuff coming out. I always forget about it though. And so it's like, is that out now? Cool. I don't know. I'm probably just looking forward to rewatching Pushing Daisies for the 18th time.
I like that show.
So great.
And only 2 seasons. It made me sad.
Yeah, it's a bummer. And the sum up of it, like the end, is real kind of sloppily thrown together. Because what else could they do?
Yeah, it's like, no more seasons.
Yeah.
Wrap it up. Okay.
But like our Wi-Fi goes out quite a bit. So you always got to have some DVDs on standby. So...
Oh, yeah.
We got, like, Pushing Daisies on the list, Carnage. We got Fifth Element over there, Ex Machina.
Oh, I love Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets, speaking of Fifth
Element. I think that's we don't have it on DVD, but.
That's my go-to pretty movie.
Oh, nice.
I love it. It's a beautiful movie. I have it on Blu-ray. It's like, it's this huge view.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. One that I'm really looking forward to is Dune coming out now next year.
Dune, yeah. Yeah, I'm very interested to see that. A lot of times when I come home and my husband is usually like watching something, and I think I got up the other day and he was watching Dune, so I watched a little bit to the end of that, which yeah, I don't. It seems like I have this curse of every time I try to watch any Dune-related thing, I fall asleep. Must be
Have
all
you
the
tried
sand.
watching Jodorowsky's Dune?
Yeah.
You say that with a,
I
nah, not quite.
watched. Is it a documentary?
Yes.
Yes, I watched the documentary about that.
It's what his version of Dune would have been. And would have been fantastic and 15 hours long and would never have been gotten off the ground. But it would have been cool.
It definitely would have been.
It would
So
have been
I'm definitely
what?
interested to see if this new one doesn't make me fall asleep.
Well, it looks very action-packed and
Yeah.
pretty and all kinds of neat stuff.
It's weird that, like, I feel like the other, it's not that I think they're boring. It's just like it casts a weird spell over me, and I just, it takes
Oh,
me
so it's the
away.
sand, right?
It is the sand, I think. It just, it envelops me and tucks me in, and I'm just like, oh, well, she know.
So when's
And
the
then
last time you
Stane
watched the
comes
Mummy
in with his
movies?
orange hair, and he's like, hey.
Have you watched the Mummy movies recently?
Not recently, no.
Yeah, I did that a couple months ago. I watched all the sand movies I could stand at the time with the Mummy movies, the Dune movies. I just watched them all in a couple of weeks.
I should definitely rewatch the Mummy movies. That would definitely make my husband very happy. He likes those a lot.
The thing is, they still stand up quite well.
Yeah, I just I read like a critical analysis of the Mummy movies recently, which seems
Except
like
for
a
the
weird thing to
Scorpion King.
say.
Except for the Scorpion King. That one
Well, yeah,
does not hold up really well.
no.
But yeah, the mummies hold up.
Yeah, I'm just that's a good idea. I think I will put those we'll set those aside for when the Wi-Fi goes out.
Excellent. So, as we're pretty much at the end of the show, and there's nobody else behind me on the show, so I can usually run a little bit later than I need to, which we have just done anyways. Final wrap up is like, how can people find you and follow you and get stuff from you and stalk you and all that general nice stuff?
I'm really not that hard to find online. If you
I
think
know,
I'm,
I found you pretty easy.
yeah, I'm loud on the podcast and I'm loud online. I'm at The Jess McHugh on Twitter and Instagram. My Patreon is patreon.com/TheJessMcHugh. Or yes, The Jess McHugh. I'm also at jessicamchughbooks.com. That's also my Gmail address, as I mentioned earlier. Yeah, you can just shoot me a message if you want to talk about Blackout Poetry Commissions, or if you want to see the best way to get a book from me, because I know a lot of people don't want to go to Amazon. And hey, yeah, I hear you. So I can definitely direct people to the best way to support small presses. If they want to get one of my books or buy from me directly. I don't have a lot of stuff on hand right now, but I got some stuff and I'm more than
Excellent.
willing to sign and send.
Sign and send.
Yeah.
Neat. You should put that down as like sign and send.
Sign and send.
Put that as a button. Do you want to buy this book? Yes. Sign and send.
And
It's like saying repent. No, not quite the same thing.
So like I now if I ever have like an in-person writing again, I'm just gonna like, hey, could you make it out to Margaret? Okay, for Margaret, just gonna make you sign and send, and then just throw it across the room.
Yes, that
That'll
sounds
be my
very
new thing.
good.
Like Clive Barker throws like pieces of like body parts or whatever, like rubber body parts at his audiences. I'm just gonna throw books at people.
Nice. Nice. I like that. It's kind of rando. It's good. It's good.
Sure. If
So,
we ever have in-person signings
we will. Don't worry. You'll be wearing a hazmat suit, as will everyone else, but it's okay.
that's okay. It'll shield against the strike of the book.
Exactly.
There
And but then no paper cuts.
you go. There you
Oh,
go. Everyone wins.
don't worry. I think we have ways to get the paper cuts even inside the suit. There will
Probably.
be virtual equipment There actually already is virtual equipment, so I'm not going to explain it too much because it goes into the wrong line of world. But Ooh. You can get a bodysuit where your partner on the other side can feel it up and Whoa. You feel what they're feeling.
What?
Yes, that stuff is coming even closer and closer.
Yeah, that's what she said.
She did. But we'll move on.
Bodysuit.
Yes. So, Jessica, once again, thank you again for coming on and being such a wonderful guest.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You can come back anytime you want. We're good for talking. See, I knew that the only one thing I was going to talk about today was blackout poetry. Everything else was off the cuff and just random.
Heck yeah. It's just fun to chat.
Yes, chatting is always good.
Yes.
So everybody else there in After Rotten Time, by all means, follow us as much as you can, as you think you possibly can, because I run fast. Actually, I don't run fast at all anymore. The squirrels do the running for me. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the other social media stuff that's out there that I'm trying to take over slowly but surely, like a squirrel, you know? Got to get the nuts. Have yourselves an after rotten good time. Be fun. Be friendly. Be happy. Be light, be dark, be whatever the hell you want to be. I don't care. Just be happy. Have yourselves an amazing good time. Wait, where's the button? I don't have my thing on the button. There's the button.